Yes, it's true in one sense, but you have also to fight against scruples, because in such a case, we don't move anymore. We don't move the little finger, because we can always be an occasion of scandal for the people in front of you. But you have to use common sense. It's what we try to explain to the people. If, according normal circumstances, you are not an occasion of scandal, yes, you can go. If you know, because of your own weaknesses or because of the circumstances, that you may be an occasion of sin, yes, in such a case, no, you have not the right to go. If someone is telling me, is going to a beach a sin by itself? I will say, no, it's not, but it can be according to circumstances. Yes. Okay, we have to be a little careful if you aren't in all our advices about things like that, because we have to use for that what you call the virtue of prudence. It's a virtue of prudence, if you want, which will connect all these things together. It's what Saint Ignatius says, you see. He says, though if such acts be repeated so as to engender a contrary habit, the habit of natural virtue is destroyed, the destruction of which entails a loss of prudence. Okay, since when man acts against any virtue whatever, he acts against the prudence. That is to say, the virtue of prudence will explain to you how to apply the rules of the Catholic faith according to the circumstances. Do you understand? And we have to be a little careful. Give you an example. With the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius, there is one thing I'm trying to do, is to get more and more families to get rid of their TV. Very often, after the spiritual exercises, for example, for women, a mother of family will be convinced the TV is bad and must disappear. But I'm always obliged to tell her, be careful in the application of what you discovered during the spiritual exercises. Suppose a woman telling me, Father, that's it, I understand TV is bad. I come back home, I open my window, the TV is through the window. Fine. Wonderful. And what will say your husband? Father, sure, he will run away, will go with another woman. Or you open your window, you get your TV back home. And after you see how you can get your TV out through the window and keep your husband at the same time. Okay? We have to... I'm very careful now, because at the beginning of my priesthood, I did things like that. Okay? I had plenty of problems with husbands who came to see me very often, because I understand by myself very quickly that I have to be very careful. I can be the cause of destruction of a family. I have to be careful now to apply the virtue of prudence, tell the people this is what is best. But to apply it, first send your husband to follow the 5-day spiritual exercises. And we get the TVs out of the families only when both of them are coming. Because when the man is coming, most of the time we get first the woman. Well, it's more easy to get the woman. Get first the woman. Well, and after she will bother her husband to come. I'm telling her, bribe him. Tell him, if you go to spiritual exercise, I will cook for you only the things you like very much during 3 months. That he will come. And once he's coming, after I tell the woman, no, you can go. Now the guy will come back home, and you can have the window open, prepared for the TV. You tell him, now we throw our TV. Yes? And in such a case, you can help him, but don't do things like that without practicing the virtue of prudence, of course. Well, after Saint Thomas will explain also, a sin will be different according the virtue to which it is opposed. If a sin is going against a very important virtue, this sin will be more important than a sin going against a smaller virtue, because he said, the worst is opposed to the best. The most grievous sin is opposed to the greatest virtue. You can explain like that. In a practical way, it's another sentence of the moral theology. Corruptio optimi pessima. That means, The corruption of the best is always the worst. Explain like that. Suppose someone jumping from five feet high, no problem. Suppose you jump from 10 feet high, you can break your ankle. Suppose you jump from 100 feet high, you can kill yourself. The same thing. Suppose someone who is in a high degree of virtue. If this man will fall into sin, he can kill himself and destroy completely his soul. Because more someone receives the graces coming from God, more God will ask some things to these people, to this person. And if you received more, you are obliged to give more. Do you understand? Because of that, you saw by yourself, when someone, or for example, typical example, it's religious congregations. Suppose a religious congregation which received many, many graces from God. Example, the Jesuit order. The Jesuit order is perhaps the congregation in the Roman Catholic Church which has been the most important congregation in the Church. The Jesuit order has been unfaithful to the Constitution of St. Ignatius. In 1966, Arupe, who was general superior of the Jesuit order, destroy completely the constitution of St. Ignatius in order to update them according to the spirit of Vatican II. See, they jumped from very, very high, you know. It's like a guy here, a little Jesuit priest, you know, he's obliged to jump from 200 feet. They jump from 200 feet and they kill themselves. And now the Jesuit organization, the Jesuit order is gone, completely gone. To such an extent that I don't think you can find more than 20 priests, Jesuit priests in the world who kept the faith. And not only they lost the faith, but before they were very, very strong to fight for our Lord Jesus Christ, and now they are very strong to fight against. In South Central America, especially in Nicaragua, for example, who do you find? Do you find in the worst places fighting against our Lord? Of course, a Jesuit priest. And you have two or three Jesuit priests in members of the government in Nicaragua, a Marxist government. Why? Because when you jump, if you jump from very high, you destroy everything. Because of that, the worst enemies of our Lord have always been ex-priests. That is to say, most of the great of the people, if you want, who did so much harm to the Catholic Church were ex-priests. The people who received many, many graces from God. Typical example, Martin Luther. Martin Luther was a priest. And of course, when someone is very high because he received many graces, if he jumps, if you want, it will be more serious than the same guy jumping only from here. Imagine the guy jumping from here. This guy can survive. If you jump from 10 feet, well, you fall, but you can climb again because you didn't kill yourself. But if you jump from 100 feet high, forget it. You are dead, you are dead. And you cannot go back. It's because of that the Jesuit order is completely gone now.
What Saint Ignatius is explaining, the worst is opposed to the best. Corruptio optimi pessima, that is the corruption of the best, is always the worst. Article number 5. Another question, to know if carnal sins are of less guilt than spiritual sins. So do we have a difference between the chastisement after a carnal sin and a spiritual sin? Oh, yes or not? Yeah, exactly. And he will answer, quoting Saint Gregory, carnal sins are of less guilt, but he will make an interesting distinction, but of more shame than spiritual sins. He will explain after. He said, the devil is said to rejoice chiefly in the sin of lust, sins against purity, because it is of the greatest adhesion, and man can with difficulty be withdrawn from it. The sins of intemperance, for example, are most worthy of reproach, because they are about those pleasures which are common to us and irrational animals. By these sins, man is, so to speak, brutalized, that is to say, is changed into an animal. For which same reason, Saint Gregory says that they are more shameful. So he says, strictly speaking, a spiritual sin is more serious than a carnal sin, but the carnal sins are more shameful, and second, it's more difficult to get rid of carnal sins than to get rid of spiritual sins. You understand? Say, spiritual sin is more serious, but it's in fact, because circumstances, more difficult to get rid of, for example, serious sins against purity than serious sins against the faith. Because serious sin against the faith is, strictly speaking, more serious, but you can destroy it through a strong act of faith. But not a sin against purity, okay? Now, question 73, the article number 6. Saint Thomas will now study the question to know if sins are different according to the cause of the sin. Let's say, the question is this one, whether the gravity of a sin depends on its causes. How do you pronounce this word? W-H-E-T-H-E-R. Whether?
Whether.
Whether the gravity of a sin depends on its cause. He will answer, the greater the will to sin, the more grievously does man sin. That is to say, according to Saint Thomas Aquinas, sin is first in the will. Do you have the intention to sin? Yes or not? If you don't have the intention to sin, there is no sin. Right. Typical example. Suppose you are hunting. You are hunting and you see something moving behind a tree. Okay. You think it's a deer and you use your gun. And you hear someone screaming and you kill someone. You really thought it was a deer. It's not a sin. It can be a sin of imprudence. Well, suppose you were, I don't know, here in the garden here, and you see some deers, and you have to be very careful because you know we are nearby places where people are living. Now suppose, same thing, you see something moving, you use your gun, you kill the people, the person, you have a broken heart because you killed someone, you rush to discover what did happen, and you discover it's your mother-in-law. And you say, oh, wonderful, I killed my mother-in-law. Because you can't stand her. In such a case, it's a sin. Why? You can't say, Father, too bad, guess what, I killed my mother-in-law today. I did not want it, but Father, I'm so happy because she disappeared. So, in a case like that, the sin is first in the will, said Saint Thomas Aquinas. You had the intention to kill her. In fact, you gave consent because you are very happy of what did happen. But it's like someone, it's the same thing for sin by omission. Suppose you are getting very upset with your mother-in-law, you want to kill her. But, and you know your mother-in-law, she's coming to mass every morning. But, she's going to mass using this way to go to the church here. You are waiting here because you know every morning she's doing this way. You are waiting with a big gun inside your heart to get rid of your mother-in-law. And this way, guess what, you don't know, she used another street to go to the church. You are waiting hours and hours and you discover, too bad, she used the other street today. And after you change your mind and you don't kill her anymore. But you are guilty of a murder. You are a murderer in front of God. Why? Because your will was, your intention was to kill her. And strictly speaking, according to Saint Thomas Aquinas, there is no difference between a sin by will or by action. As long you have the will. He said, the sin is first in the will. If you have the intention to offend God, you did offend God, even if because of circumstances, it has not been possible for you to offend God because you did not have the opportunity to offend God. This is connected with what we call servile contrition. Okay, servile contrition is a contrition if you want of someone who doesn't sin only because he cannot sin. It's the contrition, if you want, of someone who is in front of a house ready to break in. Okay, and he sees a police car going by and he's afraid to be caught by the police and will not steal. This type of contrition, what you call servile contrition. Same type of contrition, for example, we find sometimes with all people who are dying. They would tell us inside the confessional, Father, or on the hospital bed, Father, I'm very, very sorry for my sins because I am dying. When we ask questions, what do you mean exactly? Father, I'm very sorry for my sins because I will be dead tomorrow. And we are obliged to ask immediately a question. Suppose you don't die tomorrow, you will change your life or not? Oh no, Father, out of question. If I don't die tomorrow, be sure I stay in the state I am now. I am sorry for my sins only because I am sure I die tomorrow. That means, Father, I am very sorry because I will die tomorrow, and being dead, I will no longer be able to offend God. This is servile contrition. It's void. Contrition like that is void. If we give absolution, it's void and cancelled. In fact, we have not the right to give absolution. Many people are like that. Many old people who spend their life without God. And they die like that because they do not receive the day they die the contrition they need, the grace for contrition. Because don't forget that to be sorry for your sin in a supernatural way, you need special graces coming from God. If you don't have these graces, you cannot be sorry. Or you can be sorry only in a natural way, and a natural way it's not enough to receive absolution. Okay? That's what he said here. The greater the will to sin, the more grievously does man sin. A man sins more grievously if his will is induced to sin by the intention of a more evil end. Wherefore, those causes which weaken the judgment of reason, for example, ignorance, or which weaken the free movement of the will, for example, weakness, violence, fear, or the like, diminish the gravity of sin, even as they diminish its voluntariness, and so much so that if the act be altogether involuntary, it's no longer sinful. That is to say, if an action in itself sinful is done without the will to offend God, it's not a sin. Because the sin is first in the will. You do have the intention to offend God. And you do not complete the act. You are guilty of a sin. You complete an act which is in itself sinful without having the intention of offending God. There is no sin. Weakness of impurity is different because you have the will to offend God. Okay? I'm speaking about sins which are out of the control, actions which are sinful in itself, but which are out of control of your will. Suppose someone doing with himself a shameful act when he's asleep. There's no sin. Why? Because he's asleep, by consequence his will is asleep, he is not under the power of his will, so there's no sin. Okay? The sin is first in the will. Okay? A sin out of weakness can be a mortal sin. Be careful. The distinction I made at the beginning between a weakness and malice. But a sin can be a mortal sin of weakness.
Yeah, but supposing the person doesn't will, how can I put it certain?
If you do not want to sin, okay, there is no sin. But most of the time, we know perfectly we are doing something wrong. Okay? Because we are obliged, God is obliged to give us the graces. If we sin, it's because we refuse and reject these graces. You understand?
If there's a will to sin, and then you think about it, and you decide that it's a sin to do this thing,
yeah,
and you stop,
there is no sin.
Is there no sin, or do you have to confess?
That depends. If you do, if you did, if suppose, you give you an example. Suppose you are tempted to go and watch a pornographic movie somewhere. Well, you are thinking about the things, and you say no, no sin. Suppose you go. Okay, you go, you stay inside the movie theater 5 minutes and you are so ashamed of yourself, you go outside. It's a sin, because you want. It's an incomplete sin, but it's already a mortal sin. Because you gave consent for a short time. Suppose now you go, you stay, you enjoy the bad movie during 1 hour, and after you go back. And 2 days after you have contrition for what you did, you go to confession. It's different. The sin, the action is different because of the circumstances. By consequence, the sin will be different. It's the same sin against purity, but the reparation will not be the same. If someone is saying me, Father, I went inside the movie theater, and you know, 5 minutes after, Father, I was so ashamed of myself, I left. We give the absolution very easily. Why? Because this guy, it's really a weakness. It's a mortal sin of weakness. On the contrary, the guy is saying me, Father, I stayed inside. And I enjoyed myself during 1 hour. This is malice. You understand? It's a sin of malice. Of course, if there is contrition, a true desire not to sin again, removing also the obstacle and the occasions of sin, we have to give the absolution, but the reparation will be more serious. You understand?
Father,
yes?
You know, to go back to that man on his deathbed.
Yeah.
And he said he was going to die soon.
Yeah.
He should have said, because I'm sorry, because I offended God, could he have said, because I'm going to lose my soul?
This is good. This is imperfect contrition. But you have a different thing. I am very sorry for what I did, because I know if I die like that, I go straight to hell. This is good. This is imperfect contrition. You have 3 degrees of contrition. The perfect one is perfect contrition. I am sorry for what I did because I love God who died for me on the cross.
That would be the
perfect. This is what we call a perfect act of contrition. After, you have an imperfect act of contrition, which is, I'm very sorry for what I did because I know if I die like that, I go straight to hell. It's imperfect. You must go to confession. An act of perfect contrition destroys the sin without confession. An act of imperfect contrition can destroy the sins if it's connected with absolution of the priest. Third degree, servile contrition. I am sorry because I died. And I know because I will be dead, I will no longer be able to offend God. Now I don't care, I can go to confession because I know I will no longer have any opportunity to sin. This is not imperfect contrition, it's servile contrition, it's void. So if we give the absolution like that, it's invalid. Because you keep inside your heart the desire to sin. Yes?
That weakness diminishes the gravity of the sin.
Yes.
So if he was
weak. Weakness, for example, physical weakness. Suppose someone, give you an example. Suppose some.
The same man dying, okay? Out of weakness, weak.
Suppose someone was telling me, Father.
He just had a normal fear of dying.
Yeah. No, but it's not the same case. Suppose someone who is sick, who is telling me, Father, I did offend God against purity by myself because I have been obliged to spend 2 weeks in my bed because I'm sick. This is weakness. It will be a mortal sin. It's still a mortal sin, but it's a mortal sin of weakness, okay, because of circumstances. You understand?
Would you give absolution?
Of course. We are obliged to give the absolution, even for a sin of malice or a sin of weakness, as long at the time of the absolution, the guy has a true contrition for what he did. A sin can be a sin of malice at the beginning, and after you change your mind, and you are sorry for what you did. In such a case, you can go to confession. Do you understand? Even if someone is telling me, Father, I'm very sorry because, you know, I gave a big spanking to my wife. No.
Father, I'm really sorry because, you know, Father, she had a bad temper, but I have been too strong with her. Father, I'm very, very sorry for what I did. Father, I'm afraid I will do the same thing this coming week. Because, you know, Father, I know myself. Father, I will do everything I can not to give her a spanking again. But I know myself, perhaps I will. As long as I see in the man a true desire not to give a spanking again to his wife, in such a case, we are obliged to give absolution. Even if, because of weakness, the guy will be perhaps obliged to come back two days after telling me, Father, I did it again. Okay? Yes?
You're just pointing out that if this person dies and goes to purgatory,
yeah,
that the reparation for the sins will be according to the depravity of the sin itself.
Of course, and according to the circumstances and according to the will of sin. Okay? Say, a sin is what's article number 7 now. A sin can be different according to the circumstances. If the circumstances are changing, the sin will change. Okay? After he will go further and further, we'll say also a sin can be different according to the consequences of your sin. He said the sin is graver according as it does more harm. So article number 8. Say, when the consequences of what you did are more serious, the sin itself is more serious. Typical example, sin of scandal. Okay? After another example, article number 9. We'll ask if a sin is aggravated by reason of the condition of the person against whom it is committed. Father Barial was used to give always the same example when he was preaching the spiritual exercises. It's really good. He said, imagine a soldier who is in the army with a terrible temper. And one day he's getting mad with someone working with him and he will slap him on the face like that. He will slap someone who is a soldier like him. Well, not too bad. We'll go in jail for one day. Suppose the following week he's upset again and he will get very, very upset with the general of the army. We slap the general on the face. It's the same action, same act. But he did slap someone higher. Okay? In the natural hierarchy. By consequence, his sin is even on a natural way more serious, and he will go to jail for 1 month.
Father, isn't this related to the dignity of the person?
Yeah, exactly.
Given to him by God?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, it's what he will explain. Okay? He said, the Holy Scripture censures especially those sins that are committed against the servants of God. Okay? He's quoting the third book of the Kings. They have destroyed thy altars, they have slain thy prophets with the sword. Moreover, much blame is attached to the sin committed by a man against those who are akin to him. For example, a sin is more serious if it's a sin against someone who is consecrated to God. For example, a priest or someone like that. Or someone who is a close member of your family. For example, a sin against your own father. Third, a sin against persons of rank, he said. For example, slapping on the face a general of an army. And he concludes saying, the condition of the person sinned against, the condition of the person sinned against aggravates the sin. A sin can be more serious according to the dignity of the person you did offend through one sin. By consequence, when through a sin you offend God, you have, it's a teaching of Saint Ignatius of Loyola, you have, when you offend God, there is an infinite malice of one mortal sin in itself because it's a direct offense against the divinity of our Lord himself. Yes?
Father, I was just thinking of a situation.
Yeah.
If a general, let's say, is being hit by a soldier,
yeah,
he gets certain punishment for it. Now let's see that this general was demoted, and he out of revenge hits him again. So the second time he won't be punished as much, right?
No.
Because he might have been just a catch.
Yeah, exactly. it's his conclusion of the article number 9. Wherefore, a sin is more grievous according as it is committed against a person more closely united to God, by reason of personal sanctity or by official station. That is to say,
A sin is more serious against a person who is connected with God, more closely united to God, first because of personal sanctity, or second because of his charge in the society. For example, to sin against a king, to sin against the governor of a state, it's more serious. Why? Because any authority comes from God. Even if the man exercising the authority is bad, the authority still comes from God. And of course, by consequence, you need to have a very, very serious reason to hurt, for example, or to kill someone who has a higher authority. Because you need a serious, very serious, very special circumstances. And the last article, article number 10 now, question 73, to finish with the question 73 today, he will ask a question: if the excellence of the person sinning aggravates the sin, that is to say, do we have a different sin according to the condition of the person sinning? And the answer is
yes
of course. And we'll answer: a sin is deemed to so much the more grievous as a sinner is held to be a more excellent person. Because a more excellent person, for example, one who excels in knowledge and virtue, can more easily resist sin. Okay? It's the first reason he said. He said, it's more serious for someone who receives more graces to sin, because in fact it's more easy for him to fight against the sin. Suppose, for example, a priest sinning, the sin is more serious if he's a priest. Why? Because a priest has more facilities, if you want, to fight against the sin. Why? Because he is close to God, he says the Mass every day, it's more easy for him to go to confession very easily. Well, second, he said, the excellence of the person sinning will aggravate the sin because of ingratitude. If someone received more, if you offend God more, you offend him more if you received more from him. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Thirdly, on account of the sinful act being specially inconsistent with the excellence of the person sinning. For example, the sin of impurity committed by someone united to God through a vow of chastity. And fourth, on account of the example of or scandal. The sin, he's quoting Saint Gregory, the sin becomes much more scandalous when the sinner is honored for his position. Consequently, strictly speaking, the worst sins are always the sins committed by people who are consecrated to God. People who are consecrated to God, yes?
Why, cannibalism is a sin.
Yes, because against the natural law.
Suppose, to create an incident, suppose we were starving and another man was laying dead.
Yeah.
We took him?
Yes, such a case, yes.
We could?
Yes, you can. Strictly speaking, it's not because...
You
can. Strictly speaking, it's not a sin because of the circumstances. It's like, the right, like to say, you cannot kill. But if you have a black sheep in spreading disease in your flock, you have the right to kill the sheep if it's the only way to protect the flock. Same case.
Capital punishment.
Capital punishment. Same thing. Okay. Well, next time I will go on question number 74, which is on the subject of sin. Well, next time, be careful. Next week, no catechism. I'm obliged to leave Monday for 2 weeks. I'm going to preach in Post for Lighthouse to give twice spiritual exercises in the parish of Father Rizzo. You will have Father Rizzo coming here the 17th of
December.
Yeah, we have Father Rizzo because I will be preaching in his parish.
And he will be giving the catechism?
No, Father Teig will give you the catechism. Father Teig cannot give you catechism next week. He's away for Wednesday. But I asked him to give you the catechism class